I first came in touch with the Jesuits down in Mungret College, the Apostolic School. And I can honestly say it was like joining another religion. And I suppose simply it came down to, from the spiritual exercises, from the image of God that you got from the exercises, you know, here was a God who was on your side, and a God who respected your freedom, and a God who was very attractive, you know, in the person of Jesus Christ. I mean, that was the basic thing, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ is at the heart of the exercises. And that comes before church, you know. Sometimes you used to get the impression that we all talked about church, but we didn't talk about what really was even more profound than that was, you know, the reason we're in church is because of that profound relationship with Jesus Christ. That's really at the heart of the exercises. I think this is why Bergoglio makes a huge impression, you know, on people. Again, it's his image of God. And that God, first and foremost, again, as Jesus and Christ himself did, the first thing we're out to do, he's out to win sinners. He's not out to be moralistic. And he's not, at the same time, he's not denying, you know, our basic faith principles. But it's so important that what people see first is that Jesus Christ came for sinners, and he's a wonderful person, the wonderful person of Jesus. And he's out to attract sinners. In fact, I was just reading in the gospel the other day, things you don't even notice yourself, when he converted Levi, you know, and he was sitting, they were having the meal together. And there were many tax collectors and sinners there, many of whom were his followers, it says, or Jesus' followers, which I never noticed before. I don't think of Levi the sinner, you know. So this is it, that, you know, it's because we're all sinners, and it's a question of reaching out to them. And I think why Bergoglio, Pope Francis, sorry, he portrays the image of Jesus Christ, you know, as somebody who's for sinners and for the people who suffer most in the world, you know, attractive to them. So that was my experience when I went to, and believe me, when I went to the Apostolic School of Mungret, it was sort of an open-ended thing. I didn't know where I was going to be, but it was a place where you could discover. And there, that's where I found my vocation, and to the Jesuits, you know. Was there. That's how it started.
In that school?
In the Apostolic School in Mungret.
Yeah, tell me a bit more about that then.
Well, Mungret College, this might be helpful just for my vocation, how Providence, a chance meeting happened. I had the idea of being a priest, you know. I think when I was 16 in secondary school, I remember somebody coming around, but I felt deeply, yeah, something's there, you know. But I ignored it all. I went dancing. I was very good in sports, and I played for Home Farm, you know. And when I got to the age of 20, I felt, oh, this thing was still there. I couldn't get rid of it. And I needed to do something about it. But I didn't know what to do. And I wasn't in a hurry to do it. Anyway, by chance, I met a friend who I had known very well. And I was chatting to him and saying, oh, I haven't seen you for a while. Says, and he told me, oh, I'm going away to be a priest, he said. I said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to this place in the Jesuit run in Mungret. And he says, you know, I'm going there to try out my vocation. He says, you don't have to be any particular vocation, but you can find it there. I went home that day, and I wrote to Mungret. He'd given me the address, and the rest is history. But had I not met that person at the day... Now, the interesting thing is that I'm still here. He left after a year.
Just about to ask you, is he gone and you're there?
He left after a year and here I am. And but it just shows you that chance thing, that just, you know, something that happens and you just decide, no, I need to do something now.
And you went there then, and it was when you were there that you
there I got to know the Jesuits.
Yeah.
And then there, you know, I really deepened my spirituality, and it just became clear to me. Now, I have to say, I hated study. I enjoyed football. When I was in secondary school, I was out playing football.
Were you very good?
I was a hurler, and I was a footballer. I played hurling against Belfast, believe it or not. Dublin versus Belfast, and they beat us, I'm afraid, on the day. But then I turned to football, and I played with Home Farm for a while. But I was more interested in that than study, you know, so study I was on the back. So the idea of going to the Jesuits and actually studying, you know. But that was clear to me, and that's where I went, and never regretted it for a minute.
So you did your philosophy and you did your theology?
I did. There was another thing that happened, you see. I was coming back in a train in England. I had three sisters, nuns, who were in England. And I was coming back in a train in England, and I had this deep experience of just, this is where I'm going to be. And it's only after I, only after, you know, when I was in Munger, which was a number of years later, that I just, that this, had this attraction to go to England.
So that was way before you'd gone
that
to
was
London.
Way before, that was 3 or 4 years
you before. You knew you were going to be in England.
It was just, I had this thing, it's just coming back in the train from London. And I had this, it's just, you know, one of those experiences you have, you know, you're going to be back here. But it was a spiritual thing, but very vague at the time. And believe you me, the people in Munger were great, you know, and, the Jesuits there were such a help. And when I mentioned it to them, they said, well, you know, the best way of finding out is trying that. So actually, when I finished in Munger, I actually went to the British Novitiate, which was in Edinburgh at the time. And I did all my training in England, you know, in Heathrow College. I did the theology, philosophy, first of all, and then theology. And then they felt that I would be very good in spirituality. You know, there was a discernment process going on, which was great in the Jesuits. They were looking ahead what you might do. So they thought that that would be a very good area for me. I had was my mentor in the Jesuits, you know, like a spiritual director was a psychologist called George Croft, who's in his 90s now and is working out in Zimbabwe still. And he sort of said, Pat, you know, if you're doing spirituality, it'd be good if you did a bit of psychology too, because the human is very important. And there happened to be this course in Rome which integrated the two, spirituality and
psychology. When was that?
That was in 1970. This was 1975. I was teaching in Enfield at the time after I finished my theology degree in London.
And that's an amazing insight, isn't it? I mean, we take that for granted now somewhat in 2015, but to say that spirituality and psychology, to do both together because there was such a link, really was a breakthrough insight.
Sure. See, the person who, this was Father Rulla, see, he saw back in the 60s the importance. And he was a very lay vocation. He was a surgeon, an Italian surgeon. But when he joined, he saw the need for really a profound understanding of human nature as well as spirituality. And he set up, after training himself, you know, he was a psychoanalyst and he was a family therapist and he was a psychologist, very good at research. He was a brilliant person. And he trained a sister in the States and also another fellow Jesuit. And they set up the Institute of Psychology in 1971. And this was a great insight, just that this was going to be needed. Met, unfortunately, by the church with a lot of opposition. But he founded that institute, and which again tried to bring together, you know, psychology and spirituality. But it was mainly, as I was going to train more in spirituality, it turned out actually in practice that 80% was really a training in object relations psychotherapy. But unlike any other training program in therapy or counseling, it had integrated the values. This is what you call Christian values. And main purpose was first working with priests and religious, you know, training like that. So that's how I ended up training in that area.
Tell me about that. Where did you go, Pat, to train in spirituality and psychology? Where did you do
this
that?
This was the Institute of Psychology in Rome. The first 2 years were a bachelor's degree, and the third year was a licentiate. You know, my superiors in England, they wanted me to train in formation, but in spirituality. But I came back, and when I came back from there, they appointed me to the College for Lay Vocations in Austerlitz, Campion House. Again, I'd be working with people in formation. So I was working there for 2 years, and I also did a bit of lecturing in Heathrow College in pastoral psychology. Again, you know, spirituality and psychology. So I was there 2 years. After the 2 years there, I did tertianship. And I came to Ireland to do that in Tullabeg. And after that, I was appointed as assistant to the novice master in Birmingham. It was the British novitiate. I was part of that team, I suppose, for 11 years in Birmingham. And my job there was associate to the novice master. But even, it was only there, you know, after a couple of years that I was allowed to use my counselling psychology as a vocational growth thing for the Jesuit students. So when they allowed me to do that, myself and another sister, a religious sister who had also done the course at Rome, we set up a centre in Birmingham called the Formation Consultation Centre. This was a centre really for doing assessments for religious vocations, you know, men and women. And people came from all over England to that centre. But we also worked with our novices, you know, our own Jesuit novices in this whole area.
So if an order had somebody who said they had a religious vocation, they might send the person there to be assessed.
And we'd specialise in that whole area, you know, of assessing religious vocations. And then we would do what we call vocational growth counselling. it wasn't for mentally ill people, and but it was, everybody needs, you know, some help in growing humanly. So we did that with the Jesuits, but we did it with everybody else because we, you know, at that time we had about, I suppose, 8 to 10 novices in that good time during that period. So they would have come and benefited from that. But we also, it was also a center which is offered for anybody. And we were kept very busy while we were there, you know.
And the spiritual direction, was that kind of in abeyance or their how they interacted?
See, that was seen as something different, you see. Mm. See, like, this was vocational growth and mainly focused on the human development of the person, but not without the values, you know, of a vocation. But it wasn't spiritual direction, whereas spiritual direction, the difference is spiritual direction, you know, you're focusing on the person's relationship with God. In vocational growth therapy, you're focusing mainly on the person's relationship with themselves, you know, how we judge ourselves, our self-esteem and all that, our needs, how we deal with them, and how, whether they're consistent or not with religious values, and being able to point out where the conflicts and how you might, the person might be helped to grow in that sort of area. That was the main difference.